Hello and welcome to Vipers Voices at the end of an evening which has seen the Desert Vipers win their first match in the DP World ILT20, a 7-wicket victory over the Sharjah Warriors at the Dubai International Stadium. Coming up, we've got reaction from inside the camp as we speak with one of the batting heroes, Sam Billings, as well as batting coach Neil McKenzie. Let's get going. Desert Vipers' win was founded on a solid display with the ball, followed by an outstanding partnership between Sam Billings and player of the match Alex Hales. That pair, who came together with the Vipers at 15 for 2 after 2 overs chasing 146, added 128 and were only parted when Sam fell for 49 looking for the winning hit. Sam made his runs from only 38 deliveries faced, hitting 4 fours and a 6, while Alex was absolutely outstanding, finishing unbeaten on 83 from just 52 balls, hitting 9 fours and 3 sixes. Alex's last 33 runs came from just 13 balls as he put his foot on the accelerator to give the Vipers' net run rate an early boost as the victory came with 3.2 overs in hand. Earlier, the Sharjah Warriors scored 145 for 5 after being put into bat, and that represented a recovery from 68 for 5 as Joe Denley and Mohammed Nabi added 54 from the final 5 overs of the innings. Colin Munro had won the toss and opted to bowl first, and his quicker bowlers backed up that decision, sharing the wickets around with one apiece for Sheldon Cottrell, Gus Atkinson, Tom Curran and Tamel Mills, as well as one for Benny Howell's clever variations. So the Vipers are one from one, and coming up we have reaction from Sam Billings and Neil McKenzie. First up, it's Sam Billings, and we started off by asking him tongue-in-cheek that with a 7-wicket win for the side and runs for himself, cricket is a pretty easy game, isn't it?
Absolutely not. No, but it was a great start. I think it was a really good team performance. Everyone kind of played their part throughout. And what's great is I think we still have plenty to improve on and build upon it on this game, really. A few drop catches, stuff like that, where we can obviously get better. So that's the exciting thing. We've had a comprehensive victory, but plenty of areas to improve as well.
The key thing, I suppose, was the way you and Alex Hales went about things. The side was 15 for 2. You came together. You added 128 for that third wicket. But the key seemed to be that for the first couple of overs you were together, you just absorbed a little bit of pressure, didn't you?
Yeah, when conditions suit, especially the bowling team, you've got two quality operators in Chris Wokes and Naveen swinging the ball quite a bit. And on a pitch that's definitely helpful when it was a new ball wicket, really. It was just about absorbing that pressure, seeing off those overs. And we knew tactically that they were trying to attack early and use up three of Wokesy's overs. So, yeah, it was just, absorbing the pressure and knowing that in terms of a depth point of view, they had two off spinners that they could bowl and then a leg spinner. So there would be opportunities for us to attack later on. So, I think kind of the situation and conditions dictated how we needed to play, and we play really nicely. And when Alex gets going, he's as good as anyone in the world. I think he showed that tonight. He really is hard to stop when he gets going. So it's very easy to be at the other end when he's batting like that.
You mentioned swing. Of course, you were behind the stumps this evening, so you'd have had a pretty comprehensive view of the whole proceedings in that regard. A lot of talk coming into this match and into the tournament about the smart ball, how much it's swinging. What was your perspective on that this evening?
Yeah, certainly swinging a lot more. Whatever they've done to the ball is definitely helping the bowlers out, and without a doubt, swinging for longer, and even Sheldon in the probably penultimate over was still swinging a couple of balls then. So it's definitely interesting. It's another aspect of the game that we're going to have to really watch throughout this tournament, and it's just adapting to as a batter. The other aspect is it became dewy again, which is definitely a factor that plays a part in this part of the world. So, quite a few learnings to take away from this game, and it will definitely make us better as a side.
With that dew then, obviously a pretty good toss to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I always prefer having a look at, if you're not quite sure on the pitch, is having a look with the ball first, so you know what to expect as a batting unit. I think it is harder to adapt when you're with a batting unit. So, initially, especially when there's a bit of grass on there, it's definitely better to bowl first, in my opinion. And then it dews up in the second innings, and it definitely helps the batters.
145 for 5, the Sharjah Warriors. What sort of score was that?
Yeah, it was definitely under par, but only slightly, I think. I thought if they would have got up to probably 160, that would have been a really competitive total. And maybe would have forced a little bit more pressure. That was probably par 160, so they're a little bit under it. But we were very happy with how it went, even though they had a couple of good overs towards the back end. We knew that actually as a bowling unit, we bowled pretty well.
I was going to say 54 off the last 5. I suppose if you're going to be ultra critical, you'd say, well, maybe they got 10 or 15 more than perhaps they might have done.
Yeah, well, no, you've said that. I thought it was only the last couple of overs that were really expensive. But 54 off 5 in conditions that, we could have definitely kind of held them to less than that. So, it's an area to work on. But like I said, it's, if you're learning when you're winning, it's far better than the other way around. So, definitely some learnings to take away from tonight.
Talk to us about you and the way you played, because, you know, only just a week or so ago, you were playing in completely different conditions. You've come here and you haven't missed a beat, really, have you?
Disappointing to get out to the end there. I don't know really what happened there. And, as a sportsman, you always look at the bits that you don't do so well. I'm my biggest critic, but it was nice to get a partnership together, absorb the pressure as a partnership, and play my part in a winning partnership with Alex. So for me, in that middle order role, that's what it's about, really, is playing those different roles. Not every day you're going to get on a flat wicket and to smash it everywhere. I'm very happy playing second fiddle when needs be, and just getting us over the line. That's the most important thing. And when an opportunity does present itself, then I'll obviously try and take that with two hands and be dominant in myself as well. But that middle order kind of role, you have to adapt and assess conditions very quickly and work out what you need to do. So, it's less about yourself. It's about playing for the team, really.
One from one. Happy days?
Very happy. A couple of days off now and another game, second game, in 3 days. So looking forward to it. It's great to start the tournament. It's great to be here. And it's been a brilliant feel around the franchise so far. I mean, everything has been as slick as anything, so it helps when it's off the field, everything's being sorted, that we can just kind of concentrate on the field as well.
Sam Billings in positive mood with events on and off the field. Next up, it's batting coach Neil McKenzie, who told us that in the face of a chase in testing conditions and following the loss of those two early wickets, the eventual victory was a very satisfying one.
Yeah, I think chasing 146 is always a little bit of a sort of in-between type of target, especially we know there was going to be a bit of swing on display up front. So, we lost those two early wickets, and the guys came together and a really, really quality partnership. Feel a little bit sorry for Sam. I think he deserved a half century and just to get out in the end there, but got us over the line and really well played from both of them.
The thing that I thought stood out was the way they didn't panic when those first two wickets went down. As you say, the ball was swinging, but they just took a little bit of time, an over or two, to find their feet, and then they went again.
Well, I think that the biggest sort of mantra that they've got is that they've got good defence. They've both been first-class players, so they've got good defence in terms of swing bowling, so they can play a dual role. I thought they... you know, they didn't go into their shells. They were still looking to be really, really positive. You saw Hales in the sixth over sort of give himself some room. He had already hit 10 off the over and decided to go again. So just shows sort of the confidence levels out there. And, you know, they played their game, and that's all the coaching staff can ask from them. You know, there's some quality players in our outfit, so we just want them to do what they normally do. And those two definitely came to the party today.
Talk to us about Alex Hales, because he just made batting look so simple, didn't he?
Well, I think he absorbed some pressure up front. Wokes was definitely getting it to swing. So he absorbed a little bit up front, but his counterpunch is really, really solid. You know, I think he never panics because he's got so much power at his disposal. So, you know, if you've bowled him a good over, you know, he never really panics because he knows he can catch up his strike rate. And, you know, you just saw some of those shots. They're not just swinging with power. They finesse, you know, a little show some stumps and play a great shot over extra cover. We saw some really, really good cricket shots. And as I said, that comes from being an all-round cricketer, you know, having played first-class cricket and moved through the system. So he's not just a T20 bully. He mixes up some power with some real technical finesse.
You mentioned that six over extra cover. The over cost 16 from Chris Wokes, the last of the power play. Was that the turning point in the chase, do you think, that over?
I think it was sort of definitely. I saw a few guys sitting slightly easier on their chairs in the dugout after the first six. We knew we were in a decent position coming back from those two wickets. You know, you're always looking for, you know, to get across the line, and we were always sort of, took one sort of decent shot just to get that, ease that pressure. I thought Sam played really, really well, played the spinners really well, put them under pressure as well. And I think him just shifting gear as well, just, you know, that great shot that he hit through sort of a wide mid-wicket just showed his feet, his finesse, and now you've got two guys that are in and really settled, and that sort of settled the dugout.
Talk to us about the fact that both of those players have come from the Big Bash in Australia. They've had to adapt very, very quickly, and yet it was absolutely seamless, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's better than playing in the England counties and then not playing, having an off season and then coming straight into the tournament. So they have had a lot of training and cricket. There are different facilities here, but they have been hitting a lot of deliveries and a lot of balls. So I think that sort of helped their cause. And now it's just sort of getting to grips with the services. You know, I think we're going to see three different type of services here in this competition at the three different venues. So the guys are going to have to adapt, and that's going to be a key to our batting, is how quickly we can adapt to the surface.
Talk to us about the surface. Was it a really good toss to win, or didn't the surface change very much throughout the course of the match?
I'm not sure. I think it's always easier to sit from the sidelines and see, but from my point of view, it didn't change too much. There was a little bit of, you know, with the spinners, there was a skid and then a one or two just grip. We saw Moen Ali's, I think his second or third delivery grip and go past the outside edge. The guy said it was a little bit too paced, a little bit up and down in terms of that new ball and the swing. So it was a little bit difficult up front. So you definitely want to be taking, absorbing that sort of pressure as a batting unit, and as a fielding unit, you really want to be striking and putting the team under pressure in those first six when the ball is swinging. And that's what we did today. I thought they recovered really, really well from 60-odd for six to get to 140. Probably it's always good to win matches and then go back and look at your mistakes. We dropped a couple of catches. There were a few plans that went awry, but those are easy to fix and easy to talk about when you've got the points.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of catches went down. I suppose from a positive point of view as well, the side can reflect on a victory and say, well, do you know what? That wasn't our best game.
Well, I think you're always striving to get better and better and peak throughout the tournament. No one drops catches on purpose. And, you know, new lights, new stadiums, you know, there were some quality fielders that dropped those. So it's not a lack of effort. It's just, you know, cricket, those things happen. I think the biggest learnings is, you know, not to sit in the change room and think we've dropped some catches and lost the game. I think the big thing is like, okay, well, what can we address, and where can we get better? And we've got the points already, and that's a big plus for us.
You mentioned about the swing there. We saw Sheldon Cottrell swing the ball, and in fact, Colin Munro kept his seamers going in that power play rather than looking to use Rowan Mustafa. Just one over from Rowan, in fact, in the entire innings. And then we saw Naveen Ul-Haq, Junaid Siddiqui, Chris Wokes swing the ball as well. There's been a lot of talk coming into this tournament about the smart ball, whether it's swinging more. We saw it swing in our practice match as well against the Gulf Giants. What's your impression from the sidelines?
Well, I speak to our seam swing guru, Azam Mahmood. I think he says there's a little bit more sort of lacquer on the ball. You know, even at the flicker, when you're throwing to the guys, it's definitely swinging and hooping around. So, you know, he says it's a little bit humid, a little bit colder weather, and sort of he's got his own theories, which I normally back, but unfortunately, I don't think I'm that equipped and that qualified to deal with it. It has been swinging. That's what we're going to try to sort of negate. And I think, you know, we just look for the opportunities. If it is swinging, it's sometimes bowlers can get a little bit floaty, looking for too much swing as opposed to hitting the deck. And sometimes it's quite hard to control that swinging ball. So it gives you some sort of shape, some sort of inclination of where it's going. So we just try and use it as a positive, but it is a weapon for our bowlers, but an opportunity for our batters.
I'll ask you just finally now about the approach there and the fact that victory was achieved with plenty of deliveries to spare. That's great for the net run rate. Is there a perspective within the dressing room, and you as a batting coach, are you speaking to the batters and saying, look, let's make sure we keep going hard to improve our net run rate, because that can be so important at the back end of a tournament, can't it?
Well, I think, you know, the lucky thing for us, we've got some experience, quite a bit of experience, and some world-class players in our outfit as well. So there's not too much talking from, especially from my side. We want the guys to go play their game. You know, I think once they felt that the game was sort of safe and secure, you just saw how Hales just sort of dropped the hammer and put 20 odd in an over. So, you know, there's not too much chatting about chasing. We leave a lot up to the players, but you know, they pick for a reason, and they're world-class players for a reason. So he obviously got us over the line and then decided to up the ante, which is perfect. I think if he didn't, we might have had a little conversation out there in terms of our timeout, but actually timeout was a waste of time because they were doing it already.
So happy days then, one from one, and it's all smiles in the camp.
Yeah, it's always smiles in the camp. I think it's always smiles when you're losing as well with this bunch of guys. It's a great sort of team to be working around and with. Very consistent in terms of their emotional, you know, how they portray themselves and how they carry themselves. But one from one, it's a good start, but lots of hard work and just the beginning.
Desert Vipers batting coach Neil McKenzie reflecting on the side's 7-wicket win over the Sharjah Warriors. And that's it for this first match reaction podcast episode of Vipers Voices. Next up for the Desert Vipers is a match on Wednesday the 18th of January at the same venue, the Dubai International Stadium, against the Abu Dhabi Knight Riders. And we'll have a preview podcast for you, plus all the post-match reaction here, so please stay with us. As ever, please like and subscribe to make sure you get all the very latest interviews and news from the Desert Vipers camp during the DP World ILT20. And remember, you can also follow the Desert Vipers on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook too, as well as visiting the website at thedesertvipers.com. You can also buy tickets for all Desert Vipers matches online. Just look out for them through the Platinum List website and app. For now then, this is Brian Murgatroyd, and as ever, thanks so much for listening.